The voice of the Red Blacks from TSN 1200, AJ Jakubek, joins us. Age, break up the Red Blacks. They're 2-0. What's happening?
Yeah, I already matched last year's win total. You know what? I think a combination of things. Let's go back to last year first off. They lost 10 games by 10 points or less. So they found ways to lose games. And that's something that's only happened once in CFL history. Winnipeg in 2010. The next year they went from 4 wins to 10 wins in the Grey Cup. Now, I'm not suggesting that this team's going to get 10 wins and go to the Grey Cup, but just finding ways to win games that they lost last year, I think, is a big part of it. The defense is a year older. There were a lot of rookies last year, especially in the secondary. They went with four starters that were rookies in the secondary last year, and now that's a strength. So I think just being a year older has really helped. And an offense, I mean, new left tackle in Sir Vincent Rogers, 5 new receivers in Greg Ellingson, Brad Sinopoli, Mo Price, Ernest Jackson, and Chris Williams, all of whom have contributed in the first 2 wins. And maybe the most important addition in the offseason, I think, is Jason Moss, the offensive coordinator. I think the play calling has been very good. I think the communication has been very good between him and the players, which wasn't necessarily the case last year with Mike Gibson. And to a man, everyone on the offensive side of the football swears by what Jason Moss is doing. So it's a good start, but a long ways to go. But for fans here in Ottawa, they're excited because they certainly didn't have a lot to be excited about on the football field last year.
Jason Moss comes in, and the Red Blacks offense, similar a little bit to what the Eskimos offensive package pertains to. The one big difference, though, AJ, this year the Red Blacks, they've got some legitimate receivers. They got some guys who can fly and, more importantly, actually catch the ball this year.
Yeah, that was a huge problem, especially in the first half of last year. I felt Henry Burris actually had a pretty good first half last year and struggled in the second half of the season. And maybe it was frustration. Maybe he was worn down. But certainly in the first half, he was let down because there were multiple drops every game, and it was frustrating to watch. And so just to have, Mo Price dropped a football on the first drive, which led to a BC interception. So you're not going to eliminate that problem completely, but you've got more reliable receivers. You've got more explosive receivers. I look at Chris Williams in the first game, the last drive when they're up 20-16 and they're looking to salt the game away. It's second and long inside their own 10. Short little pass to Chris Williams. He caught it at the 10 and made a couple of people miss, made something out of nothing. And those were things that you didn't see last year. Brad Sinopoli was outstanding on the weekend, and Ernest Jackson, fantastic last week. The catch that Craig Ellingson made on the touchdown, the deflection off of Parker right into his hands. I mean, great concentration. So they've all shown some great things so far, and it's been a major difference.
AJ Jakubek, voice of the Red Blacks, joins us. Henry Burris, I know that kind of gets the moniker Good Hank, Bad Hank, and he's got 4 touchdowns, also 4 interceptions. Now, interceptions aren't always on the quarterback, though. Sometimes, guys running the wrong route or what have you. Lever Sage was on our station saying maybe the one only negative about the Red Blacks is the play of Burris. How do you think he's played so far?
I think he's been good. I'm not going to call it a negative. I think he could be better. He certainly wasn't good in the first half of the first game in Montreal, that's for sure. But I thought in the second half of that game, he certainly got a lot better and, didn't force things like he did in the first half of that game. Didn't really miss any bad throws. But, I mean, when you look at his numbers, 20 for 25 and 3 touchdowns and an interception, and when the interception is one that should have been caught by Mo Price. I mean, it's tough to call that a negative from my standpoint. Look, he could be better. And there's no question, against BC, he was fortunate a couple of times where he threw it into double and triple coverage. He's always had that problem where, once a quarter or once a half, he makes one of those questionable decisions where he's trying to force something. And I think he needs to dial that back a little bit because last year, I can understand trying to force things a little bit when you don't have the type of playmakers. Now, look, if nothing's there, throw it away and punt it away or next play you can get it back, because with the playmakers he's got at his disposal, it's just about getting it into their hands and they can make the big plays. So I think if he can improve on those things, he's going to have a great season. But so far, I think he's had a decent start, and he's been a part of this for sure on offense.
Hey, Jay, what about the defense of the Red Blacks? I'm sure they look at the Eskimos, no Mike Riley, an interior offensive line that struggled in week one. Are we expecting them to bring the house at Matt Nichols?
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. I mean, you know, at times last year, there was a game against Hamilton. They must have blitzed 25, 30 times against the Ticats when they played Dan Lefevre. It didn't necessarily work to their benefit because they ended up losing that game early in the season, 33-23. But Mark Nelson certainly isn't afraid to do that. We'll wait and see what he does. The secondary is much improved, and this is a nasty defense. They knocked out two quarterbacks in week one. You look at Jonathan Crompton, I mean, whether it was one play or three plays, I mean, he was smoked by ex-Eskimo Justin Capicotti, which led to an interception, smoked by Antoine Pruneau, smoked by Travis Brown. I mean, Abdul Kinney knocked out Dan Lefevre. So this is a defense that, can make big plays. They've had interceptions in both games. They made the big stuff on Andrew Harris on a third and one with Zach Evans a big part of that. So I think all across the board, you can't look at this defense. I mean, Thomas Munoz, the ex-Eskimo, had six tackles and a sack last week, and he was a backup last year after playing 3 years with the Eskimos and back to a starter's role after Jasper Simmons was traded to Calgary in the Mo Price trade. So there isn't one dominant guy where you say, okay, this guy – he's the Solomon Elamimian of this defense or something like that. They just have good football players in a lot of different spots. They're able to use multiple Canadians on the defensive line, which helps in terms of the ratio. And I think, they've been able to stay relatively healthy with the exception of a couple of injuries, Jermaine Robinson and Brandon Thompson in the secondary and also Travis Brown in the linebacker spot. But enough depth that I think this group – to me, is a strong point. As good as the offense has looked at times this year, the defense has been consistent since the start of that game against Montreal, really other than the first drive where Montreal worked it down the field quite easily. Other than that, they've looked exceptional in the first 2 weeks, and it's certainly going to be a tough challenge for the Eskimos against this D.
Outside of having the most regal name in the league, Sir Vincent Rogers, I've talked to a few Eskimo players. They say, quote, this guy's a baller. How good of a tackle is he?
He's outstanding. When you talk to and I think the big thing that he's brought to this offensive line is an edge. It was a better group as the season wore on last year, but they needed somebody to come in and bring some nastiness. And you could see it right from the start of training camp where, they weren't messing around, and there were some pretty good battles in the trenches in training camp. And he brings that leadership, he brings that confidence, and there's no question he's been a big difference maker. Henry Burris has had tremendous protection this year, and they've run the ball very effectively. I mean, they've run 60 times this year. They ran 29 times in week one and 31 times last week. Now, hey, when you've got a lead, you're going to run the ball more. And so that's a big part of it. But they didn't run that much at any time last year. And a big part of that is what the offensive line is doing. So Sir Vincent Rogers was a huge addition in the offseason as well. I mean, Alex Mateus, who was taken number one overall, they think very highly of him. And he's the number one backup. They dressed six offensive linemen, but hasn't had a chance to really play because, you had four returning starters and bringing in Rogers on the left tackle spot that didn't really leave much room. So I think, again, if they feel it's a position of strength. And so far, based on what we've seen this season, the offensive line has been much better.
Interesting you mentioned the nastiness. That's something I felt the Eskimos offensive line still lacks. And if you have a great guy who adds some nastiness, it's huge. Adding speed in that receiving core, I want to go back to Williams. Of course, we saw him in Hamilton, dominant player, AJ. Do you think, is he going to be that dangerous again once he kind of gets used to the CFL? Or, having not played as many snaps the last few years, do you think that's an impact?
I think when you talk about special teams, I mean, he should have a touchdown already. I've seen the replays, and I mean, Rick Campbell,
I mean, he doesn't give you a heck of a lot in terms of he's not going to complain about the referees. And then even the way he framed it today, he wasn't complaining about it. But he mentioned a couple of times that he still hasn't seen anything that, you know, he hasn't seen anything on film that showed that there was a hold on that return. And I certainly didn't see it either. So Chris Williams should have a touchdown already on special teams. On offense, I think, you know, in talking to the receivers, I mean, one of the big things is there's so many different options. I mean, if you go up against the Montreal Alouettes and, you know, they picked up Nick Lewis and they picked up Fred Stamps, you know, both 33 years old. But if you go up against the Montreal Alouettes, it's about stopping S.J. Green. And if you can stop S.J. Green, you've got a pretty good chance to win. Let the other guys do the damage against you. If you're playing the Ottawa Redblacks, I don't know where the focus, where you'd want to be. I mean, if you put it on Ernest Jackson or Chris Williams, I mean, a Mo Price can beat you. Brad Sinopoli, I mean, he was the key last week with those 9 catches for 99 yards. And certainly Chris Williams, so dangerous. When he gets the ball, he's just so tough to break down in space. So he's so quick and so shifty that it's difficult. So that to me is going to be the benefit, as long as these receivers don't get frustrated if there's a game where they maybe only get a couple of looks their way, because it's going to be about who's going to be open. It's going to be about you know, just what's out there. And in game one, it was Ernest Jackson who was the key. In game two, it was Brad Sinopoli who was the key. But everyone has contributed so far, and that makes it so difficult for a defense just to try and focus on one guy defensively. Not to mention you got Siobhan Walker, who's very dangerous out of the backfield, especially in space with his speed as well. So, you know, Chris Williams, I expect him to have a big year, but if you ask me who's going to lead this team in receiving yards, I have a hard time answering. I'd probably say Ernest Jackson, but I think, you know, probably 3 or 4 different guys really legitimately could lead this team in receiving yards.
AJ, they gave up 70 yards to the feature back in week one and only 48 to Harris in game two. Is the Red Blacks defense that good against the run? If so, why? Or are teams just not running? Like, Harris had 13 carries. So in the CFL, that's a fair amount. He's not even getting 4 yards a carry. Like, who's the guy who's stuffing the run consistently for the Red Blacks?
I think it's just in the interior, and they've got multiple guys that they can put in there, and multiple Canadians. And that's the exciting thing if you're a Red Blacks fan. Is, I mean, there are times where they throw 4 Canadians on the defensive line, and they don't skip a beat. So certainly in the interior guys, you know, they start Keith Scholigan and Moten Hopkins, but, you know, they play Zach Evans a lot. They play Connor Williams a lot. Jonathan Williams missed the first couple of games, still battling a bit of a groin injury, but he was a starter last year, and maybe their best defensive lineman, who's also very good against the run. And then, you know, you've got Justin Capicotti, who was, you know, the top Canadian on this team last year and had 11 sacks. And, you know, the linebackers certainly can make plays, whether it's Pruno or Munoz or Malik Jackson. I mean, Malik Jackson played 5 years for the Calgary Stampeders, didn't play at all last year. I mean, Munoz hardly played coming back from Tampa, but he was a 3-year player with the Edmonton Eskimos. So, I mean, these are good football players all across the board in the front seven. But I think when it comes to the run, it starts in the interior with those Canadians in particular, and Moten Hopkins, guys like Scholigan and Evans are big bodies, and you know, they get a good push, you know, right off the defensive line. So I think Montreal had some success in the first drive with Tyrell Sutton running the football, but beyond that, no one's run it with any consistency the last 7 quarters.
Well, Age, we'll see. Ottawa trying to end a triple decade losing streak in Edmonton. Granted, there was a few years off.
Pete Catella, that was pretty much the end for Pete Catella. When you lose to Ottawa and you're the Edmonton Eskimos, you're pretty much turf. So.
It's very true. No one has lost since, but I'm telling you, the Eskimos, without Mike Riley, although their defense has got to play better, they were awful against Toronto. So I expect them to be a much more intense team on Thursday. And the Red Blacks got to come in with the most confidence they've ever had in their brief resurgence in the league.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, it's going to be fun. I think, you know, from Ottawa's perspective, I looked at this schedule, And certainly this was before Mike Riley went down. And I figured, well, you know, it might seem a little surprising, but I figured they need to win one or two of those first games if they were going to push for a playoff spot. Because, you know, for me, you got to beat Montreal twice. You got to beat Winnipeg at least once. You got to beat BC at least once and find, you know, another five wins somewhere else. So they got off to a good start. And now, you know, I expect Edmonton to be a good team here this week, much better. Obviously, it hurts to miss Riley. But, if Ottawa wants to be a playoff team, I think a split in the next 2 weeks would be huge if they can get that done. We'll see if they can end that 32-year drought. But nonetheless, a lot of optimism here, and certainly a much different situation from the end of last season when it was pretty tough to watch at times.
Well, they've got some playmakers. And when you have playmakers and you got an O-line who can block, suddenly you can be a dangerous offense. Age, we'll see you at Commonwealth on Wednesday.
Can't wait. Look forward to it.